I assume that most of you have heard by now that a week or so ago, the pastor of St. Andrew's in Centerville was removed from his ministry after confessing to having sexual contact with a minor 25 years ago. It was a sad day for the diocese, especially for those many of us who knew that pastor well. But the bishop did the right thing, following the protocol very strictly. Even though the abuse happened only one time and was so long ago, we need to take this very seriously. Not only to see that justice is done for the past, but to strive to assure that all our children are always protected. We must protect our children. It's kind of strange, though. I have been and will continue to be an outspoken advocate, not only for strictly punishing priests found guilty of abusing children, but also for punishing bishops who've covered up for those priests. But now a friend of mine has confessed and would never have dreamed it. I've always known him to be a good man and a good priest. But he confessed. So I will pray for him. May God have mercy on him. But I am very glad that he is out of the ministry, and I pray that justice will be meted out to him as he deserves. It's a hard thing, but it's necessary. Because we must protect our children, especially from this kind of corruption. After all, doesn't the first reading tell us today that the Lord hears the cry of the oppressed? The Lord is not deaf to the wail of the orphan. The prayer of the lowly pierces the clouds. And doesn't Jesus himself tell us elsewhere it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were cast into the sea than that he should cause one of these little ones to sin? We must protect our children. You can imagine I've been thinking about this a lot the last week. But as I thought about it, it came to me, if that is the case, that we must protect our children, and it is the case, then why don't we protect our children from others in authority who seek to harm them? We generally do this, but there are some glaring and incomprehensible examples where we don't. Where we not only let, but even enable and empower people to abuse our children and then brag about it. I want you to think about this with me a little bit. What greater abuse is there than killing a child, especially a very young child? And yet how many Americans, how many Catholics, how many of us have willingly voted for men and women who tell us that they think it's a good thing to kill the youngest, most innocent, most vulnerable of children, babies, before they're born? Some say, well, you know, it's a mother's choice, and it's not our baby. But would we say the same thing about a priest abusing a child? It's not my child. And even if he or she was a teenager and consented in some way, chose, it really doesn't matter. We still throw the book at the adult predator. Why? Because they used their own power over the victim, whom we deem to be vulnerable and not completely capable of making an informed choice. What is the difference between that and a doctor or even a mother exercising their power that they have over an unborn child who is also vulnerable and clearly unable to make a choice for themselves? How is that not child abuse? And another example. For the last 3 or 4 years, we've been struggling with this bizarre thing with folks who, instead of helping a boy or a girl get over any confusion they might have about their gender, instead, they say that it's good to promote that transgender confusion. It even goes so far as to give them drugs that will cause them permanent damage. or even to mutilate their bodies with surgery that will only change a few outward appearances, but not the fundamental biological lifelong reality that boys are boys and girls are girls. But when another child objects or is traumatized by even the thought that they'll have to share a restroom or a locker room with a member of the opposite sex, they're told that they're being intolerant and they have to change the way they think. That the way they think, not the way the transgender person thinks, is messed up. How is this all not child abuse? And when you say, well, wait a minute, how about the mother when she objects to any of this? What about her choice about her child? No, now they say that the mother and the father have no role here. School officials know better. And yet how many Virginians, how many residents of Fairfax County, how many Catholics, how many of us have willingly voted for men and women who support, embrace, and promote the confusion and mutilation of children? And another example. What about officials who say parents can't be trusted to pass on proper moral values, even how a family should live, not to mention how a society should function? And so they come up with their own family life education to teach the children not the family's values, but their values. Not the values that family teach at home, but rather values that run directly contrary to what their families teach at home and what their families value. They say, hey, teens are going to have premarital sex, nothing wrong with that. And here's how you contracept. And there's nothing wrong with same-sex acts. Maybe kids, you ought to think about that. And let's study some history and literature so we can point out all the bigots in the past who thought that homosexuality was a bad thing. You know, bigots like your ancestors, all of them, and your grandparents, all of them, and your parents, both of them. How is this not also a form of child abuse? Different and more subtle than some other forms, but nevertheless abuse of our children, our vulnerable, impressionable, innocent children. And yet we elect them. Now some may object to me comparing pro-abortion and pro-LGBTQ politicians to people who sexually abuse children. And honestly, I hesitate to do so because there's way too much rancor in the public discourse today. Way too much over-the-top language thrown around. I know I've been personally called a bigot more times than I can count. I would bet there's nobody in this room who's been called a bigot by the Washington Post, except for me. But in this case, I don't know what else to say. What's worse, the sexual abuse of a teen or the killing of an unborn baby? What's worse, the inappropriate touching of a young body or the mutilation of a young body? The psychological damage done to a child by a sexual predator or the psychological damage done to a child by an LGBTQ activist? It's all abuse. And as with all abuse of children, I will not be silent. I must protect my children from it. Because if I don't, how can I stand before God, who St. Paul calls the just judge? How can I stand before him and say, in the words of St. Paul, I have competed well. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now, having said all that, I will give these politicians the benefit of the doubt. I will assume that they are just confused and that they generally think that what they're doing is good, is right. We cannot judge their hearts, but we can judge their actions, and we have to protect children from their bad actions. Because the thing is, even if politicians don't realize what they're doing is wrong, it's still wrong. And like a bishop who covers up for an abusive priest or moves him around from one parish to another, voters are the ones who are enabling politicians to continue their abuse. So when I say that there is almost no way a Catholic can vote for a candidate who is pro-abortion or pro-transgender or pro-gay marriage, I'm not denying that these candidates might be otherwise well-meaning or very, very talented and bright people with lots of good ideas. And I'm not condemning them to hell. That's not my job. I don't even want to get into that business. I'm just saying, like I say about abusive priests who might otherwise do great things. People might love them. They might be shocked to know that they did something horrible, because they're such good people in so many ways, or so it seems. The same thing applies here. First, protect our children. Nine days from now, Virginians go to the polls to elect state and local officials, especially our own state delegate and four members of the Fairfax County School Board. You can vote for four people on the board out of the 12. I cannot tell you the names of the people to vote for. And when you get into the voting booth, not only will the ballot not tell you that this candidate for delegate is pro-abortion or this candidate for school board is pro-transgender theory. In fact, in many cases, the ballot won't even tell you what party they belong to. So you have to find out before you go into the polls. There are lots of voter guidelines out there. Check them out. Go to the web pages, whatever the people or organizations you trust. Or ask your friends, ask someone after Mass today. But find out before you go into the polls. And by the way, don't assume anything. After the last election, a member of our immigrant community came to me in tears, literally in tears, telling me all her friends and family voted for another member of that of their ethnic group, assuming that they had the same values as most of the people in that ethnic group. But when it came time for them to govern, their values, they found out, were radically different, as the elected official promoted a radical pro-abortion agenda. Do not assume. Find out. That's your responsibility before God. In today's gospel, Jesus tells the story of the prideful Pharisee who stood in front of the temple, at the front of the temple, and prayed, "Oh God, I thank you that I'm not like all the rest of the people." I have to confess that when I hear a priest has committed one of those crimes against children, I do sometimes think something similar. Thank God I didn't commit that sin, and won't ever. I'm sure you'll forgive me for saying that. But believe me, I know that I am a sinner. I have my own little sins that I like and that I commit. You've probably seen some of them. And every day I have to say, and I do say, "Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner." But today, do not be prideful like the Pharisee, but rather humble yourself like the tax collector. Do not judge the hearts of others, but do consider their actions. And consider your own sins, especially sins committed not by not voting at all or by voting very badly. And resolve with me today to protect our children from all who would abuse them. Praise be Jesus Christ. Amen.